Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. We just heard a panel of principals talking about what it takes to make it in the education profession. Passion, focus on industry, and a love for what they're doing, a dedication and a value to the contribution that their profession brings to the community. And I don't think that those values are so different from anyone else who really reaches to the acme of their game. But let's go now to another panel. This is the accounting panel. We have a group of individuals here who have become ICAW chartered accountants and, in fact, maybe didn't actually become accountants. So let's look at who these individuals are. First, we have James McKenzie, the founder of McKenzie Executive Search. James qualified as a chartered accountant in 1994 with Price Waterhouse London and is a fellow of the ICAW. James went on to get involved in the executive search industry and has won a variety of accolades and is one of the top executive search professionals here in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates. James, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
I don't know if I missed anything or was there a few other things about yourself that you wanted to share?
No, professionally, that's about right. Yeah. Trained in London and then over here for the last 10 years.
Excellent. Our next guest is Mitali Bhutadra, Assistant Relationship Manager at ABN AMRO. She's born and raised in Dubai and first completed her ACCA qualification in 2009 and then topped up with the ICAW ACA qualification 2011, working 5 years for KPMG before joining ABN AMRO in 2012 in the Diamond and Jewelry Group. Mitali, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
And our next guest is Mitesh Desani, ACCA Management Accountant with Boutique One Group. Mitesh qualified as a Chartered Accountant with Ernst & Young. And at Ernst & Young, he has held a variety of internal finance posts supporting assurance and tax. He moved to Dubai in 2013 to take up the Management Accounting post at Boutique One. Mitesh, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Hello, thanks for welcome.
It's great to have you guys. But what's interesting about, you know, all three of you is you went and got an accounting qualification and then didn't actually become accountants. And so maybe we can start with you, James, and you can talk a little bit about, you know, why that was and how did the qualification actually add credence or add any fuel to the fire of your career path, even though you didn't become an accountant.
Well, I was at Price Waterhouse for 4 years. And I loved it. I had a great time. But in that 4 years, I realized I didn't want to work another 15 years to become partner. But nor did I want to completely forget about the fact that I had qualified. It's hard work to qualify. And I was talking to some recruitment specialists, and they said, well, why don't you move into our field and specialize in finding roles for other accountants? And certainly having qualified, it was a big help in talking to CFOs and clients because I understood what their roles really were. I understood what their positions were. So in that sense, for a headhunter who's specializing in placing accountants, it's a huge help to be a chartered accountant. But I had all sorts of choices I could have gone to, and qualifying opens it up to any number of industries. But I liked the city. I was in the city at the time, so went into recruitment for the square mile.
And so it basically gives you an edge in dealing with any of the C-suite executives.
Yeah, I mean, it shows that you're a professional. You know, you're not just off the boat, not straight out of university. You've got some idea of how to work in big blue chip organizations, dealing with the best outfits that are out there and dealing with them in a professional way.
The best thing about the show is it's interactive. So you, if you have a question or you're thinking of doing your qualification, you can SMS us at 4001 or contact us using the mobile app, which you can download from our website at DubaiEye1038.com. Mitali, you also went and got your accounting qualification and then didn't become an accountant either.
So like James mentioned, I was also an auditor. I was with KPMG for 5 years. And like him, I thought I didn't want to be doing audit for the rest of my life as well. You do learn a lot. It's a wonderful experience. And you it's a great learning experience, actually, but it was not something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And there was a job opportunity in banking, which was something very new for me. So I grabbed that opportunity and I've been there so far, and it's excellent.
And you enjoy being a banker, because they weren't, yes. You know, bankers weren't so popular through the last. Most people don't want to come on, you know, public radio and say that they're a banker. But, you know, I think there's a huge value bankers play in society. And, you know, for many, the bedrock of freedom is access to capital, which the banking community provides. And, you know, you can't really see a progressive society without a finance function in it.
Absolutely. And going to banking was a good choice for me, because I would not want to go into a career where my qualification is absolutely wasted. But I'm actually in corporate banking, so I do use my qualification. So it's been great. Yeah.
And so our other guest is Mitesh. Mitesh, you also are highly qualified as an accountant, but didn't go into the accounting profession.
I suppose my role is more accounting than the others. I did start off in general practice preparing accounts, but didn't go down the auditing road, particularly because I enjoyed the variety the accountancy qualification allowed me to get involved in. In particular, get involved in the nitty-gritty of the business, see how it's progression, and working alongside operations to improve finances.
So what kind of things does a management accountant actually do?
So we look at the month end, so making sure each month the business is progressing against budget, looking at key performance indicators, ensuring that the business is progressing as it should be.
So do you actually make a prediction into the future, or is it just, you know, sometimes some people call accountants historians because they're telling you what's already happened?
My magic ball isn't working at the moment.
No, it's not. then you'd make some really good money. So
I'd be all right then. It's a case of using the historical information to predict trends and forecast what you would expect given the current information you have.
Right.
And so you're trying to help operations to manage their working requirements. So very much a partnering role.
So if the three of you were going to redo it and you were going to redo your qualification, would you go again and do it? James, would you go and become an accountant, or would you even go back into an executive search? The choice. It's not an easy job. So
I would definitely go back and train again. Apart from that, it was fantastic fun. It was fantastic fun. It was like being at university, but with a salary. It was great. The qualification is incredibly useful, even if you're not, just to have the letters after your name, people will talk to you and they treat you differently. But beyond that, the ability that you and the skills that you learn can be used in all sorts of ways. And I own my own business. I have to keep on top of my own figures. Only, you know, I trust myself more than my accountants and my CFO, and I want to be able to understand what's going on out there. Executive search is a different thing. We had some good years. It's a bit harder now.
Well, we're going to find out exactly what it takes to become an ICAW chartered accountant, and find out as well if other two guests would redo it if they had the choice. So stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what an accounting qualification will do for your career. Is it worth it? Will it help you? And, you know, even if you're not going to be an accountant, should you still get the qualification? Well, we actually have three people here in the studio who got the qualification and did not become accountants. We have James McKenzie, the founder of McKenzie Executive Search. James, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
And of course, he's a headhunter, executive search consultant. So he definitely not is an accountant. And we also have Mateli Botadra, assistant relationship manager at ABN AMRO.
Thank you. Thanks, Shane.
And you went into banking, so a completely different career path. And then Mitesh Jaswani, an ACCA management accountant with Boutique One Group. Welcome.
Thanks, Shane.
So, Mitali, would you redo it if you could and get the accounting qualification again?
I totally would. It was a lot of hard work. I won't deny that. It was very hard and it wasn't fun when I was doing it. But when you think about it, and as cliche as it would sound, there are no gains without any pains. And even when I was doing it, when I would compare myself with my peers or people my age, I would realize that I have achieved a lot more. So yes, I would definitely go back and do it. It was fun. It was hard work, but yeah, it was good.
Did you just like totally snub all your friends on radio? were you just like, compared to my friends, I'm much more successful. Did you just say that? Don't hold back. You know, tell us what you feel.
No, what I was actually saying was, a lot of people, what I actually did was go and do my qualification right after my schooling. I did not go down the normal university route. And what that helped me do was save at least 6 or 7 years of my life. Because I started working as soon as I got out of school and I was doing my qualification. By the time I was, I think 21, yes, I was only 21 and I had my first qualification. And I was 22 by the time I had my second qualification. Anyone normally that age just has a bachelor's degree. And here I was with 6 years of work experience and a professional qualification. And that works in my favor. So it was good. So it was a good decision to make.
In a sense, you feel that the ICAW qualification or your accounting qualifications fast-tracked you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And now you make more money than your friends.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And Mitesh, would you redo it?
Definitely. It's hard work. But anything worth doing is going to be hard. Otherwise, everybody would have it. As we've mentioned before, I think it's a case of it does benchmark you at a higher level than everybody else. And soon as somebody sees on your CV you've got an ACA, you've got a recognized qualification, you're already halfway through the door. And then it's all personalities and your experience. With the ICAW, not only are you studying, but you're also working at the same time. So you get to do both those things that employers value together.
Well, speaking of hard things to do, we're just having a little competition this evening to see if anyone can name the three, not all of them, if you can just name three out of six of the bankrupt presidents of the United States of America. And in fact, out of all the American presidents, six of them have been bankrupt. If you think you can name at least three of them, you win a free executive coaching seminar. And you can simply SMS your answers to 4001 or use your mobile app to send in the answer of who you think. If you can get all six, okay, maybe we even give you an extra prize, but at least get three of them. And yes, James, we weren't going to ask you on the spot. You have 30 seconds. Just name three American presidents. But, you know, I think, you know, one of the themes, you know, of the show is that if things aren't going well or if you fail, that you can still be hugely successful. And, you know, there's six presidents who were totally bankrupt, bottomed out, and they went to get one of the most prestigious jobs in the country, the presidency, which maybe not is such a coveted role these days. That's another story. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, a lot of people say when you go to do your ICAW tests or the accounting qualifications, the pass rate's not so high. Did any of you fail the first time?
Yeah,
there you go. Oh, yeah. Jason.
I did take the scenic route, but not everyone passes. It's hard going. It's hard work, but life's hard work, you know. And some businesses work, some businesses don't. Some jobs work, some jobs don't. I had to retake my second year. It was slightly different in my day. We had to take them all in one go. I think now you can take them like once every 3 months or something. It's a different way of doing it now, more modularized now. But Back in my day, they're a bit more like degrees or A-levels.
Well, it's not how many times you get knocked down that counts. It's how many times you get up. And the fact is, most people give up when they're just that close to breaking through to the daylight. I don't know if you had any...
No, I was lucky. I cleared all my papers in the first attempt.
You cleared all your papers in the first attempt?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and...
Case study was a reset. Okay. It's the last paper. But when you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you work hard and get it done.
So here's a couple questions coming in from the audience. I say I'm a fellow member of the ACCA with 10 years of Big Four experience and MNC experience. What value would I get if I topped up my qualification with the ACCA? And I think one of you did that as well, right? You topped up.
Right, so I was a member of the ACCA, and they do have a program which I'm not 100% sure of, but I think you need about 10 years experience in the Big Four, I think, where you can actually then get an ACA qualification automatically. But I didn't want to go down that route, so what I did was, after my ACCA, I got exemptions. I only had to do level 3 of the ICAEW. And so that's two papers and one case study, and I got my ACA qualification.
Excellent. So it's not that difficult to do, and it's a nice top up.
No, but the exemptions do depend on what subjects you've taken in ACCA, but you can get you would have to do a maximum of 5 papers if you were to top up from ACCA.
And did you feel it was worth it?
Absolutely.
What value do you get from doing that?
The ACA is a more prestigious qualification. It's widely recognized, so that's why I wanted to get it.
Okay, great. When you guys look at doing your qualification, I think one of the stats we saw here was 84% of FTSE 100 companies have an ICAEW chartered accountant on their board. 55% of UK FTSE 250 companies have an ICAEW chartered accountant as a chairman, a CEO, or a CFO. Do you think that, you know, if you really want to be successful in business, that, you know, if you can't understand the numbers, you're just not going to make it? As they say, no finance, no romance. Is it really a passport into the boardroom?
Well, I mean, it obviously depends on what business it is, and businesses need all sorts of skills, and a board needs everything. You know, if you're a paper company, you need a paper man on the board as well who understands paper. But ultimately, businesses are about the numbers they produce at the end of the day, and somewhere along the line there need to be people on the board that understand it. And your stats there are great showing how versatile the ACA qualification is. There is literally no business or no industry you can't get into with your qualification, because ultimately, or at least any business that needs money or needs figures. And I've got friends of mine who are the most successful traders in the city, best corporate financiers, head up fast food chains, head up small art galleries. You know, they can do everything, because ultimately, at the end of the day, you need to make money in a business, and money is worked out by the accountants.
And it threads basically everything you do. And I know we had Mark Shaw. I don't think he came on the show, but I'm not sure if he came on or not. But I've interviewed him for other things. Mark Shuttleworth, who's the former CFO of Do, and he's in ICAEW, and he did his audit work in the music industry. So he didn't go into a Big Four. All you have to do is be training under an ICAEW accountant. And he had a great time with bands and music and everything else. So it's not necessarily like you need to catch into it. But from an executive search perspective, do you think it's a career catalyst?
For sure. You know, it can open the door. Thereafter, there are all sorts of other skills you need. You know, you need, as we were saying, a personality. You need to understand business. Business is not just accounting. But if you can understand the figures well, then that's a great bonus for sure.
So coming up, I think we have a few attempts at winning the competition. Again, the competition was if you can name 3 of the 6 in total. There have been 6 American presidents of the United States of America who are totally bankrupt. They went bankrupt during their careers at some point, and they still ended up to rise to the top. If you can name 3 of them, you win a prize. We have a few people taking a shot at the title here. So we'll unveil that in just a minute. So stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And for those of you just joining us, we had a panel on what it takes to make it as a dean, as a principal, as a head of a school, what it takes to make it in the education business. Some of the main themes there was having a why for what you do, a sense of purpose, really feeling that, you know, your job is creating value beyond your paycheck. And I don't think you need to be in education to do that. You could be in anything at all and feel that value. And I think that's one of the things where you're going to get that extra burst of energy. And now we are on the accounting panel, looking at different careers in accounting and out of accounting, because actually most of our panelists have an accounting qualification but don't work as accountants. But before we get to that, we had a competition. We had a little challenge, a brain teaser for you out there. For if you knew three of the six American presidents who were bankrupt during their careers. And I think the moral of the story here is no matter how big the failure, even if you've completely bottomed out, completely bankrupt, completely done, down and out, broke as a joke, you can come back and be president of America. It didn't really come out right, but you know what I mean. If you're down, it's not, as Les Brown says, it hasn't come to stay, it's come to pass. Hello, welcome to Eye on Careers. Is
Hello.
This Chico?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Chico. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good, very good. So I believe you have a you want to take a stab at the challenge here.
Yeah, because a few days ago, apparently, I was reading an article regarding bankruptcy. So one thing led to the other, and then I landed up at this thing. So the names that I could remember were Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, Truman, and Jefferson.
What's the first name? What's Truman's first name?
Sorry?
What's Truman's first name? You heard
Hello?
What you heard? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello? You can't hear me? Hello?
Harry Truman, sorry.
Harry Truman, Abraham Lincoln, and what was the third one?
The third one was Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, oh. You're the winner. Congratulations.
Oh. No, okay.
Whew. I don't know what our technician's doing, but here's the congratulations, you won. So we'll be back in touch with you, a free executive coaching seminar. So do you have a dream or a goal that you're working towards?
Yeah, well, I am working towards a qualification, my CFA qualification, so hopefully I'll probably be transitioning into finance.
You're doing your CFA?
Yeah.
So a young aspiring investment banker, is it?
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, you guys are the ones who brought the world to its knees.
So we're the ones who are going to bring it back up as well.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, and that was the whole story, the value for the profession. You're absolutely right. I believe, you know, I think the banking sector at the end of the day gives people access to capital, which is a bedrock of freedom. Chico, thank you so much for joining us on Our Careers. We'll be back in touch with you shortly.
Sure. Thanks, man.
Cool. So there you have it. Even bankruptcy can be the seeds of success. And now just joining our panelists again, we have James McKenzie, who is the founder of McKenzie Executive Search. Welcome back, James.
Thanks, Shane.
And we have Mitali Bhutadra, Assistant Relationship Manager at ABN AMRO. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And Mitesh Jasani.
Jasani.
Jasani. Okay, great. Thank you. Management Accountant with Boutique One Group.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you so much for coming out. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, you know, when you look at the stats of who are, you know, accountants, you know, you have 84% of FTSE 100 companies with an ICW chartered accountant on their board, and so on and so forth. We went through the numbers, and it's generally the lion's share of the executive positions in the large cap companies are given to chartered accountants. Now, beyond, you know, when you're managing your career, it's not so much, you know, what you know as who you know, and maybe literally in James's sense in being an executive search. But that coveted alumni group, does that give you an advantage as you kind of move through your career? And we'll start with you, James.
I mean, for sure. First of all, on a direct basis, any number of my friends that I qualified with have gone into important positions, and a good half a dozen of them have become clients of mine over the years. So just because they've gone into senior banking roles, and you want to deal business with people that you know and you trust. But also the wider network, PwC have a good kind of internal alumni. The ICAEW as a whole institute has a good kind of referral network and an alumni basis. It can be a useful tool for sure.
Even when you're training, when I was training with KPMG, not just your colleagues, but you have a client almost every week. So you meet different people every week. And that's a great tool to our network. And also all the events that they hold as part of being a member of the ICAEW, that's a great networking event. So you do meet a lot of people, and it's a good opportunity to actually interact with people within the profession as well.
I was fortunate, and I joined the ICAEW Student Society. So I got to meet students studying ICAEW, but also network with other individuals outside of the ICAEW who are studying towards another qualification as we mixed some of our events. And within that, you learn networking skills, you learn all the relevant skills, and you get people from different backgrounds all joining in. And it's as well as the alumni at work, you get the outside wider network, and it helps going forward where people are progressing within their career, and people who you knew started as junior accountants then become CFOs or, as you've mentioned, CEOs of major companies.
But there was an interesting MIT study that showed that, you know, people generally make within $2,000 to $3,000 of their closest friends. So, you know, if you actually want to move up the salary scale, you may have to ditch some of your friends. As Metalli, it seems like you already are kind of distancing yourself from it. But James, you're in an executive search. How qualifications aside, to what extent does a power network play into a career path, and to what effect does power itself play into a career path?
It's important, but I would take exception to your comment that you earn within several thousand dollars of your nearest friends. You know, I think that's utter rubbish. You depends what industry you're in. You know, and two bankers at big banks can earn hundreds of thousands of pounds difference. But certainly having a power network helps, both in terms of introductions, of door opening, also in terms of advice and just mentoring. In my business, for example, because I have lots of different clients from different industries, being able to phone someone up and ask them for advice on, you know, I don't really understand, you know, the downstream oil industry, and I'm about to go and meet a client tomorrow, you know, give me a rundown on it. And having senior guys that know those business inside out because of your network is very helpful. And it makes you look good, it makes you understand what you're talking about, and it opens the door for you.
Metalli, did you have anything to add on that?
No, I mean, it's not just for any accountant, for any field, I think. It's always great to have a network of professionals within your profession, you know, that you can actually go to for advice, for mentoring, as James mentioned. Just pick up a phone and call someone. Yeah, it's for any profession, not just accountants.
Well, that's right. I think the other thing is there's so much detail that you can get involved in. And when you start to specialize as you move into higher positions, it's good to have a network where you can speak to somebody who's a specialist in a particular area and get their advice on a feel before you move into something that you are a little bit unsure about.
We have a question here from the audience. And for anyone who does have a question, you can SMS us at 4001. Or use the mobile app, which you can download from our website, dubaii1038.com, and interact directly with any of our presenters. But this question here, individual saying, very serious question, should I get my bachelor's and then do my accounting qualification, or should I go straight ahead and do my ACA? What do you think? We'll start here with the executive search consultant, who's the guru of careers. James, what would you rather see? Just someone diving right in and getting that? Is that work experience more valuable than getting a good bachelor's and a qualification?
I mean, with all due respect to the rest of the panel, I wouldn't even think twice about it. Get the bachelor's. Absolutely get the bachelor's. For all sorts of reasons. You're a long time in the workplace. You don't need to be qualified by 21. Qualify at 23. It makes no difference to your age. By the time you're up in senior level positions, it makes no difference. And university is also another place to build your networks and to build your power plays that we were talking about, because they also go on to all sorts of different fields around the world. And it's good anyway to be broadly educated. You know, education is an incredible thing that you need to grab as much of it as you can, and don't try and get, you know, don't try and run away from it. Grab it while you can and get it while you're young. Bachelor, then ACA, then maybe a master's after that, and then you're working for a long time.
You're saying don't just do the bachelor's, do a master's as well.
Yeah, why not? If you enjoy it, I mean, if it turns you on, don't do it because you feel you have to. But if you want to, and you enjoy education, you enjoy learning about something, then go and do your bachelor's and then your master's.
Natalie, what do you feel about that?
I would not agree with what James just said. For me, if you know what you want to get, there's no need to faff around. Just go and achieve it. So for me, I knew I wanted to be a chartered accountant. So I just dived in and went for it instead of wasting 4 years in university when I can just go and do what I want to do.
So here we go, ding, ding, ding. We have one-on-one on each side. It's getting hot in the studio. Mitesh, are you going to be the tiebreaker on this? Whose side are you on here? Are you leaning towards Mitali? Go for it. If you know what you want, forget about the bachelor's. Or are you going to side with James, who says the value of a good education can't be underestimated?
I'm going to go in the middle, go for the political correct.
Oh, no.
If you know what you want to do, then there's no reason why you wouldn't go ahead with the ACA qualification. However, for myself, I knew I wanted to be in finance, but in terms of the particular field, I wasn't sure. But I wouldn't underestimate the time I had in university. I went to a red brick, and again, it was the network that I built there. Are still friends of mine years on, and I'd expect them to be friends going forward.
You know, I think in a sense I have to agree with Mitesh on this, and that I think so many times people try to cookie cut or copy a career path that's a has been. And you know, I think really to find your success, you know, I think you need to have that kind of confidence that Mitali has, that says, I'm going to cut my own path. I'm going to deliver my own unique value. I'm not going to copy someone else. I'll use them maybe as benchmarks or beacons of light as I make my way up the mountainside. But I will go where there is no path and leave a trail behind me. I think that those are the people, when you look at history, who've actually made our mark, or some of our most memorable leaders are those individuals. You know, like Sheikh Mohammed, who's completely painting a fresh canvas as we watch this city come out of nowhere in one of the greatest moments of the last two centuries, debatably, as the city rises. A very real inspiration. So there's so many people like that go forward. I don't think you can do it following a path that you need to do this or you need to do that. Another question coming from the audience is the work-life balance. A lot of people say accountants don't have a work-life balance. How does that factor into the equation?
It depends. When you're training, there's no doubt, again, it's hard work.
It's a slave ship.
No. I mean, look, during the busy season, end-of-year audits, it's hard work. Yeah, and I used to go 4 months working, all hours and all weekends, etc. But then I have 6 months a year during the interim side and the off season, the summer, that, you know, frankly, I'd leave my jacket on the back of my chair and go down and have lunch, you know, and make it a long one. And you know, every profession will challenge you. There are busy times and quieter times, and when you're busy, you're busy, and you work hard and you do it professionally. And when you're not, you're not.
Well, it looks like we're running close on our time here. Is there any last advice any three of you'd like to share for anyone who wants to go and follow in your footsteps and become an ICAEW chartered accountant?
I'd say don't think twice about it and just go ahead.
Yeah, and if you fail, just get up and just go for it again.
And James?
Yeah, absolutely do it. It can take you into anything you want to do, and it's a great door opener, and it's actually good fun doing it.
Well, I want to thank you so much. Hopefully we inspired a new generation of young accountants to emerge from the sands of the Middle East.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thanks, you, Shane.
Thanks.